the examinations in this world, in this dunya, the tests in this world. A student, he prepares all year long for the examinations, and the student who has a bit of wisdom, who's a bit serious, he will try always that I shouldn't fail, rather I should pass. And to obtain that objective, to reach that objective, he revises all the subjects, he makes effort, he stays awake in the night, that I don't want to fail, that after the year ends, the result will come out, and I want to pass. So my brothers, we are all students, and our examination is the examination of the hereafter, and we are also trying, we are also making effort that when the result will be published in the hereafter, that we should all pass. That in all of our hands, all of us should be given our book of deeds records in the right hand, and we should enter into paradise. Isn't this our trying and our efforts? Yes. And further, we try and we try, and we have adopted the path that Allah Ta'ala has defined and explained in the Quran, that to become a muttaqi, to pass, to do this, then what you need to do is create a connection with an honest person. Right? And then on top of that, in this test of the hereafter, we need to work harder than we do for the test of the world. When we try that, we don't want to fail in this paper, we don't want to fail in that paper, in that exam, remember, then this is also a very severe examination that we will face in the hereafter. And who is the examiner? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the examiner. And the exam result that will come out will be very, very great indeed. So we need to prepare for this exam with caution, care, and with due attention. Now in this, or with this, the danger, the biggest risk that will make us fail, you know, like when we're studying and we know that this subject's hard, I might fail, and then if you don't prepare properly, you fail due to that subject. So we need to pay attention to that subject. I am a student and you are the students. And what is that risk that can spoil our results in the exams? That is istiqamat. Istiqamat is what? What is it defined as? That when a person works hard, starts to work hard, then he is regular and consistent in working hard. He doesn't leave it. And in this examination of the akhirah, of the hereafter, the hardest paper, the hardest exam, the hardest test is that of istiqamah, being steadfast. We start an action, and remember this, always in the initial period, the initiation, there's a lot of energy and passion, desire. Anything you do, whether it's a worldly action or a hereafter action, in the early stages, the early days, there's a lot of desire and zest and energy, but after some days that reduces, and we see after a while he steps back. This is the fitrat of the human being. This is the nature of the human being. So the walis of Allah always warn. They always tell their murids, their students, that remember, if you step back, then you will fail. For this reason, this is the biggest point here. We should make niyyah, intention, that we're not sat here for taste and enjoyment. Rather, we are sat here for the akhirah, for the hereafter. Subhanallah. And then we should think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us onto that path. And if we stop practicing this path and we turn back, or we step back, then our destination will not be achieved. Then how will we succeed in this journey? So whatever occurs, whatever happens, we are not going to leave this path. We are not. Look, now here, the insan, he has the biggest, you can say, issue. What is that? That, for example, for a long time we've been traveling on this journey. How many colleagues came and then slowly, slowly they disappeared? How many people came then slowly, slowly they left? They went away. In the beginning they had a lot of drive and passion. Yes? And the student, he has a lot of... he calls out, I've got love for my sheikh. He shows it, and I'll give my all for dhikr. The desire's there. But then you'll see that shock That desire, that energy starts to reduce. And this is Allah's hikmah. Allah's hikmah. Allah wants to see it with reality. Did he come for me? Or was it just some enjoyment he came for? Because if you're doing it out of enjoyment, then all your actions of the deen, you're doing out for enjoyment, not for Allah. It's just like when you want a child to do something, you give him a toffee or a chocolate, and he starts to do the work you want him to. When you take the chocolate back, then the child will stop. He won't do anything. So this desire and passion, Allah creates it. Why? So that we can kickstart the process, jumpstart the vehicle, and you can start traveling. And then when that desire and passion reduces, the nafs, it deceives us. Though I'm not enjoying myself, this means that I'm not going to get close to Allah. I'm not going to get close to Allah. It was the first point that the feelings I had, they've gone. I felt a lot of enjoyment and satisfaction. And what it looks like now is that I'm not going to succeed. I should leave this path. May Allah not allow this to happen. So that person, due to his nafs, the nafs makes him feel really down. You don't have any desire anymore. There's no spark anymore. And this is the test that Allah gives, because he wants to bring the pure people to him. Not those people doing it for clamor and noise. I'm sat in dhikr for the first time. Hal has overcome me. I've seen people, they used to come to dhikr, they used to get overwhelmed. Azza, tell me more. What else shall I do? Give me hukam. They're in front of you, behind you, next to you all the time. And slowly, slowly, the desire reduces, diminishes, and then that person does a U-turn. He scarpers. So let's do dua to Allah. And this is the dua in Masoor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, please do not include me amongst those people who, after seeing your path, they turn back. They turn back and go in the opposite direction. That's the most dangerous action. And once, if a person jumps into the den, then Allah Ta'ala gives a person desire, a lot of taste and passion and drive and energy and spark in the beginning. Take all of the tasbih. You've come to a wali of Allah, so he comes with a lot of passion. But when Allah's hikmah overtakes, that is he doing everything for me, or is he doing it for his desire and his passion? So in the same way, you know, for example, the wali of Allah, for example, gives a lot of drive and energy to the student. He says, Hazrat, I'm seeing good dreams, I'm seeing good things. He becomes more happy. That subhanallah, I'm successful now, and people are praising me, and he praises himself, and he continues. This is the hal of the students today, their condition. Then Allah Ta'ala says that I don't need such people, followers like this, who they are doing their actions for someone other than me. So Allah Ta'ala removes the dreams and those feelings. Allah wants the khalis, pure person to come to him. And those weak people, when these things are removed, he says, I can't see dreams anymore, there's no enjoyment anymore, I can't feel what I felt before, those emotions are not there, the hal is not there. And then you see that person gradually, slowly but surely disappears. So be careful about this. As a Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi, I speak about the pious elders, great lives. And they didn't become walis of Allah for nothing, did they? All the walis of Allah in history, all that became awliyaullah, they had a sift, a special quality, istiqamat, steadfastness. Subhanallah, that the first day, that for example, after coming, until his death, he maintained that connection with Allah. He maintained that connection. And that's the exam. That's the paper that we need to sit and study. And we shouldn't leave that. We shouldn't leave that. Yes? So we've attained that. That's it. We need to just travel on the path. We shouldn't stop on the way, broken down, whatever we are. But we should be steadfast on that path. And this is called istiqamah. Steadfast. So he went to the service of Junaid Baghdadi, and that let me serve, let me become a murid, a disciple, a student. And I heard that, mashallah, he's a great sheikh. And he was the great sheikh of his time. So when he went, that he didn't see anything there that was special, that there was no one floating in the air, no one walking on water, no karamat, no miracles, no wahi, astaghfirullah, whatever. Nothing, he couldn't see anything. And he looked. 10 years passed, 10 years. And he observed a lot. He thought that, what kind of wali wala is he? What is he doing? What does he not do? 10 years he sat observing. He said, I can't see anything that's apparent. He said, after 10 years, I said, I'm going back. He said, why, what's the issue? He said, I'm not getting any benefit from coming to you. And this is when you realize the niyyah of the person, that what niyyah did he come with to the wali of Allah? Imagine, what was his intention? Yes, so the first important thing is that when we go for Allah, then my niyyah should be khalis, pure. Any action you do, lillah. Any work of the deen, any action of deen, if there's an atom's dust of mixture and contamination, then that will become a waste for the hereafter. Remember this. Yes, so that's the big point here. That if Allah Ta'ala's name comes into your action, that I'm doing this for Allah's sake, and we say this very openly and quickly, I'm doing this for Allah. Listen carefully and think carefully that to do something for the sake of Allah is a great action. Am I right or am I wrong? From my tongues, I'm helping you for the sake of Allah. Oof, such a big thing. You bring Allah in between. When you should help and assist, that yes, it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is. Remember this. So the results will come out in the after. Why are you doing this? I did it for the sake of Allah. Why are you doing this? Because I did this for Allah. Why did you host this gathering? Why did you form this gathering? I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. We all say this, don't we, today? We all say this. Everybody claims this. Yes? That we bring Allah Ta'ala's name into the equation. And we say for the sake of Allah. But it's the nafs, the desires, the ego of the person that's in between. If not today, the world will disappear. Never do an action after you mention the name of Allah that you mix dunya into the action. Because then the action will become for something else. Remember this. So when you go to a wali of Allah, why should you go to a friend of Allah? For which purpose? For the sake of Allah. Yes, not to make a name for yourself, etc. That's why the awliya Allah, they say, if you come for Allah, that I don't need to beg to you or run after you or praise you. I don't need to do that because you've come for the sake of Allah. That if you've come solely for Allah, then everything you do will be for the sake of Allah. So you should be grateful that Allah Ta'ala has put you on the path. Subhanallah. Now, you also expect that we should beg to you and run after you and make a fuss with you and give you invitation to feast and this should happen, that should happen. This has no link with a person who's going to the wali of Allah for the sake of Allah. So we learn straight away in the beginning that his niyyah was every murid. That's why people fail, students. The first step, we can't see that what is his niyyah. Why did he come? For which reason is he come? What's his intention? Why is he doing dhikr? So 10 years can pass. More than that, examples have been given that 10 years passed and his niyyah was not correct. And he came to test, didn't he? That I want to see how quickly from my shaykh can I get khilafat and become a deputy and a successor, etc. If he had come for the sake of Allah, then what else does he need? If he came for the sake of Allah, then he has attained the wali Allah's company. He came for the sake of Allah. And what did he attain? The wali, the friend of Allah. And when you get to the friend of Allah, then you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You introduce to Allah that there's reward upon reward, beyond reward. But subhanAllah. So after 10 years, he spread the word that Hazrat, I tried my best to sit with you, but there's no benefit. Tell me. He's saying openly. And remember the statement, one moment in the company of the awliya Allah, that person, he, such a great shaykh, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, Sayyidul Taifa, whose company was so great, that a moment to sit in his great and blessed company was such a great reward for the wali Allah, that a person to sit in the company of the shaykh, and he sits and says, 10 years, after 10 years, I did not benefit. Allahu Akbar. And they leave Allah. They come out of the deen. They turn their faces. What a big loss and deception of the nafs that is trying to influence us. Very important point that I'm trying to present to you. Very important one. You'll see this in your halqa. You will have seen the 50, 60 years I've seen this as well. That there are some people who are like this. That they came young and they became old in this. They became grandfathers, great grandfathers, but they didn't leave this path. Subhanallah. They don't have any miracle. They have no kashf. No intuition, no khilafat, nothing. I swear by Allah, they have nothing. But I say they have everything. Indeed, they have everything to their name. So much is Allah's mercy upon them. Yes, maybe zahiri they have nothing. But to go to a person like this, and mashallah, take the reality that he came in the young age. Subhanallah. And the fourth generation is going along with me now, isn't it? The fourth generation. His child. And everyone else who's old has gone into the grave. So that, look at his istiqamah, 60, 70 years that he became young, he got married there. When I came, he got married, he had children, those children grew up. Then after that, they got married, then they had children. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And life is the same. The lifestyle is the same. So this is what happens when you have istiqamah, that he was young, he stood firm, patient, he's in the same place. And he never says, I'm a wali Allah, or I've had kashf, or I've seen dreams. From the first day, emptiness, he said, I have nothing to my name. I swear by Allah, even today they don't claim to have anything at all. Yes, that no seat, no position, not to give, not to take, no karamat, no miracles, just the khadim. Yes, I'm stood in the service of my shaykh, I'm assisting. No demand, no request. The whole style of khidmat until today, mashallah, he did great khidmat. And this is called brothers, this is called wilayat, the friendship. Yes, in the world you don't, the wali wala doesn't have horns on his heads, but in the hereafter they will get the crowns, the crowns. Yes, we came and there's no lilayat, we just take hold of what we want to do and get the influence we want and praise the sheikh 2-3 times. There are places like this, you'll find many places like this. Do you understand the word adda? You'll find many dens and places and sort of abodes where this work is being taken place, where it's taking place. There are places, yes? I don't know Gujarati accurately, so I just speak in my own dialect if you want to hear Saraiki, okay? So, what is it? That this is, for example, you're saying this, not in Gujarati, in Urdu. So, brothers, my friends, there are places like this where people come, and alhamdulillah, they come for this reason. Why? They come and then they disappear. They attain a side secondary objective, then they leave. Somebody's coming for this reason, for X, Y, Z, their standard of life. It does not include going to a wali of Allah. And even if they do, they don't want anything successful after that. But there are people who are present. That in this day and age, I'm telling you, I've seen people. There are people that after 1 or 2 years, they depart, they disappear. You don't know when did he come, when did he go. That you should see the extreme passion and desire in the beginning. So this is a very big lesson for us. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, they said, what is it? He said, Abbaji, I need to leave. I need to depart. He said, tell me, what's the reason? He said, no, that my connection has finished. Is it? This is what people say, look how openly people come like this. No, that's it, finished. I have no connection, relationship. No, tell me, why is it finished? No, I don't get enjoyment anymore. I'm leaving. There's no specific reason. I said, okay, fine, you can go. But at least explain the reason. What's the reason behind this? Khair. So that person was good and he explained the reason. Otherwise, people don't even say the reason. People who depart, they don't even tell the reason. At least tell us the reason. He said, the reason is this, Hazrat, that I stayed in your service for 10 years. I didn't see no kashf, no karamat. You didn't float in the air. I didn't see any magic or anything. And no wahi, no Jibreel, Islam, nothing. The people come, they pray salah, they sit down, do dhikr, and they depart. Is this being a wali of Allah? Does this justify being a friend of Allah? So he breathed a deep breath. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, because when he has pain, he feels that what's happened to the makhluk, to the creation? That they've dropped so much. They've dropped so much that is this a person? Is this person a human being? So he said, okay, fine. Tell me one thing, he said, he requested. That 10 years you stayed with me in my life, did you see an action in the 10 years that you were with me that I rejected or left or shunned a deed? Did you? When I did tasbih, 10 years I did the same tasbih. The way I sat, the same maraqabah, the same recitation of the Quran. My routine for 10 years, according to the sunnah, my life was. And there was then a day. Can you show me a day in those 10 years? Rather, my whole history is there, isn't it? Every day I used to sit down and my kitab, my book of deeds was wrote upon. So tell me that one example and I will come down from my position. Is there anything? He said, no, you didn't have this. There was no quality like this where that I can say I saw this. No. So he said, then is there any greater miracle than this? Subhanallah. Do you want to see a bigger miracle than this? So Mullah Ali Qari wrote this record that 1,000 miracles you can bring, 1,000 karama. The one act of istiqamah is heavier than the 100 miracles. You can bring 1,000 miracles, this and that, I've seen this and that, but one action of istiqamah in the life of a person is many times over better than that. So my brothers, we are all students. Let's do dua to Allah. We should do dua to Allah that we've made delays in this process, but we've now taken the tasbih, and this tasbih will take us into paradise. Tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk. So the attention we need to focus, we come, big storms will come, hurricanes will come, but there's no path that can assist us. There's no other path that can take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pick up the Quran. Those same actions to attain Allah's nearness. Just two things. Dhikr Allah and sunnate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's it. So have you attained these two things? So what's the third thing then if you've got both? Do you need a third thing? Of course not. Ruh says, yes, I do. What do you need? What do you need? I need my Rabb. I need Allah subhanallah. That's it. I don't need anything else. That when I came, I was empty, wasawis, waswasa, whispering. Allah says that you're saying all of this. Then, for example, you've got the two things that through which Allah Ta'ala is attained. You're doing dhikr, your body and soul, your heart, your stomach, your eyes, your hand, everything. Your body is doing dhikr. Subhanallah. So what else do you need? And the second point, totally, regularly, consistently, whether you feel inside or not, whether anybody believes or not, accepts or not, whether he knows or not, the sunnah, the person who's practicing on the sunnah of Rasulullah is the lover of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The stamp has been applied, alhamdulillah. The stamp has been applied. That woman, that man, the stamp of approval has been applied. What do we do? I can't do ziyarah of the Prophet ﷺ. How can I? I'm an ashik. I don't know how to cry. What to do? Don't see anything. The biggest thing, the biggest proof of the love for Rasulullah ﷺ is his blessed sunnah. And after attaining the sunnah in our lives, we should have istiqamah. That if the crown of the Prophet ﷺ comes onto the head, for the rest of the life it will not come off. For the rest of the life. Yet there was a Sikh. And you know they wear their turban according to their deen or religion, their way, their custom. And then somebody entrapped him, and there was a couplet in Punjabi. They said, Sardarji, take it off. Take off your imamah. Take off your turban. That's it. The time's finished. You don't need to wear it now. So what was their answer? The reply that the Sikh gave, we are Muslims. He said that maybe I will have other issues, but I won't take the imam off. Subhanallah. So this is the ashik. That for a little while we keep the beard, then after that we say that the barber, he cut too much, or he did this and he cut it this way and that way, shorten it. We do Hajj and Umrah, and we go to the Rauda Mubarak, the holy Rauda, and we don't have istiqamat. So there was no beard, but when it came, you don't touch it. So those people who do actions for the sake of Allah and His Rasul, then nothing else should come in between after that. The wife shouldn't come, the business shouldn't come, and transactions shouldn't come. Why are you not doing this? Oh, it's due to the shop I'm not doing this now. Why are you not doing this? Oh, because due to my house I'm not doing this now. Oh, due to my wife I'm not doing this, due to that. No. When we're doing for the sake of Allah, then everything goes to the side. And this is the test. What a big test. If we're doing for the sake of Allah, then we have difficulty upon difficulty, issue upon issue, difficulty upon difficulty, distress upon distress, no enjoyment, no karamat, no comfort, no. But because Allah's name has come, that we're doing this for the sake of Allah, end of story. My Hazrat, my Sheikh, used to say a very beautiful point, that work, make effort, and start to accept and believe in Allah's ahkam, Allah's orders, and then leave the results to Allah. No need to count yourself. What a beautiful point. Yes, that the way to eat the fruits, the result. So your job is to start working. And the result, you don't need to look out for the result. Who should we leave that result to? To Allah, our Rabb. What He gives, what He doesn't give. That for your encouragement, what do? We say that, he will recite the Quran, give him that gift. So such promises Allah has made. Ati'ullah wa ati'ur Rasul. Tell me. So that person who gets these both things, then his body is doing the dhikr of Allah. Speak about the jism, the body. Yes, all the parts of the body, they start to do dhikr of Allah. And the whole wajood, the body is dahir. It is busy and occupied with the sunnah of Rasulullah. He doesn't see which country am I in, what am I doing, what I'm not doing. No, the Prophet did this, I keep this with me. I bring it into my life. When these two things come, lilayat and the love for the Prophet, then how do we take it off? When we feel ashamed taking it off, that this beard I've kept today, who have I kept it for? Who? For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this was his blessed action. So will I cut it tomorrow? What a big action of disrespect that we keep it for the sake of Allah. Then we cut it. We have an imam on our head. Whose imam is this? The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know this, and then we take it off the cap and put it to the side. I'm tired of wearing this. We've got the tasbih, the dhikr of Allah tasbih, and after that we leave the tasbih. We say we can't do dhikr. It's very difficult for us. Very difficult. So this whole friendship will not go. No. So we'll fail in the test. We'll fail. That's it. We'll fail. Without enjoyment, we should do actions without enjoyment. Any precondition. No, we shouldn't have. We should continue in our path. Continue in the path towards the destination. Towards the destination. Inshallah, the person at the end, the being at the end of that journey will himself embrace you. Embrace you. And his rahmah will embrace you. Come. Take enjoyment. That in the world I gave you dhikr, comfort from dhikr, enjoyment. See what this dhikr, the enjoyment of dhikr, will give you after that. What a great enjoyment for the dhakirin. Great, great reward for the dhakirin. There's so much, such a great situation that when the veilers will be removed, they will up, and they will disappear away. What will the person get at that time? The dhari ilahi, the dhakir. He will see Allah and say, Allah, today you have fulfilled your promise.
The people of the world, they push from here and there. There's someone said, I was mad and crazy, waste of space. I don't know how to earn dunya. Look at him. The dunya is progressing. Look at his son, what he's become. He had this and that. He's become like this and that. In the same dunya, this has happened. Thousands of reasons we had. But subhanAllah, the consideration is that I've become Allah's, so I can't leave that. He said, that's what you should have done. That's what I needed to see. That who is mine? Allah says, who becomes mine sincere? SubhanAllah. So will we do this, brothers, continuously? Yes, don't become a potato, half a partridge, half a quail. No. Be steadfast. Let the wasawis come. Let them come, let them go. SubhanAllah. But our routine that has been given to us, Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you this routine in your life, so you should drive it like a car. Do work in the dunya, whether you want to have business, bring the children up, and advise, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives, we should adopt and eat with istiqamah, and practice with istiqamah, but never leave the deen of Allah. Will we do this? InshaAllah. Come, let's do the dhikr of Allah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين دواء ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي الأمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وأزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وأمرنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب سرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واجعلنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واجعلنا في زمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اكتاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري اللهم عافنا في قلبي لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.